Those of you at home, I want you to pray this also. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. In your precious name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. The first portion of scripture I'm going to read you is probably familiar to those of you that come to revival. The second two may not be as familiar. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. Enter ye in the strait gate, at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. How many would testify that broad is the way that leads to destruction? If you don't believe that, just go outside this revival and take a look at the nightclubs and the parking lots of these places. Broad is a way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereon. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By the way, the word beware means watch out for. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Before we turn to the next scripture, let me remind you, as I have many times before, that when the Lord says this, he says, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, friend, look this way. Heathen do not talk like that. He's not talking about prostitutes on the streets. He's talking about church people. He's talking about people that moved among God's church. They knew the lingo. They said, Lord, Lord, in your name we tried to prophesy. No, sir. We prophesied. In your name we cast out devils. In your name we did many wonderful works. So please keep in mind, these are religious people that didn't know the Lord. Now, the next passage of scripture I'm reading to you, I am not reading this scripture in reference to my departure, but rather in reference to the constant activity of false teachers as they attempt to infiltrate the church. Folks, I want everyone to look this way. If you've ever listened to a message from this preacher, listen to tonight's message. I am about to share with you something that is going to take place. It will happen. As sure as you're here and I'm here, this will happen, and you'll wish you had paid attention. But when I share the next scripture, I'm not referring to myself. I'm reading to you a scripture that was penned 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul. But it's as if he was speaking of the days we're living in. It's found in Acts chapter 20. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. I want to read that again, friends. Some of you are missing this. I don't want to go too fast. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The last portion I'm going to read to you is found in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Bible school students, that's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 22, it's between Genesis and Malachi. Ezekiel 22, verse 25, I'm reading this out of the New American Standard. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst. Verse 25, Ezekiel 22, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives, they have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. That's going on today, my friend. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I have profaned, and I am profaned among them. Verse 27, her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. Now the following message is being delivered out of a direct mandate from the Lord. That means, friend, I have no choice. It's out of a sincere concern for the family of God. There is a driving force behind me. My concern is not only for the family of God that exists today, but for those who will be born again in the future, because there's a great revival coming, friend. There is a great move of God coming to this nation. The greatest awakening this nation has ever seen, and I believe many of us in this room are going to be a part of that great move of God. I am concerned. Now, as I preach this, I am not referring to Brownsville Assembly, so you can take that off your list of people he's speaking to. I trust the leadership of this church. This leadership is strong. They know the Lord. They love Jesus with all their heart. But across the board, all over America and the world, I'm seeing something happening right now that's scaring me to death. And it's the beginning of sorrows. There was never a time when false doctrine was more subtle and the devil was so busy corrupting the faith of the children of God. We must be on guard against false teachers, against those who set up their own private opinions and their own judgments against the truth. Now you may think I come down hard tonight. You can take it like that if you want to, but it is out of concern. Just recently, I heard of a woman whose home was used 50 years ago to found one of the greatest Assemblies of God churches in America. It was birthed in her home. She was raised, Mike, around the fire. The church was planted in her house. They saw Pentecost. They saw the fire come down. They saw people get filled with the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues just automatically out of surprise, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now the woman is up in years. She's away from that. And she'll make a statement to you right now. Well, I don't really know if the gifts and all are for today. You may say, well, Steve, what's the big deal? Oh, it's a big deal, friend. I said, everyone in the Family Life Center, it's a big deal. And those of you that are watching at home, it's a big deal. Something, or might I say, someone has crept into that woman's life and gotten her ear and poisoned her, poured water on her, cooled the fire down, and now she's even wondering whether or not this stuff is legitimate when she was born in the fire. I've preached over the last 5 years a lot of messages on what we believe. I don't want anyone to raise their hand, but Pastor, in this room right here, there's a lot of people that don't know what they believe. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you know what you believe. Many people would raise their hand. But as an Assembly of God minister, I've traveled enough and seen enough to find out a lot of people have no clue what we even stand for, what we even believe in. And so I've preached messages over the years to just add a foundation to the preaching that's gone on in this place, just to let you know as you drift through the revival, the fundamentals of the faith. I've preached messages like White Cane Religion, messages like the Traumatic Truth, the Hardcore Gospel, another message entitled No Other Doctrine, a message that's going to be out in a book soon called Keep a Closed Mind. Jesus had a closed mind when it came to the gospel. One of his most closed-minded statements was this: I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one goes to the Father but through me. That was a closed mind, friend. It's like, but, there's no buts. There's no other avenues. There's only one way. You come through me or you go to hell. There's only one way. And he was walking physically on this planet today, he'd be preaching the same thing. He probably wouldn't be packing out arenas and coliseums because it's not real popular today. I said, it's not real popular. Oh, sweet Jesus. Preach the message entitled, What on Earth Do You Believe? Another message entitled, The Whole Counsel of God. Those are just a few. But every one of those incorporated the fundamental beliefs of what every Christian should have in their life. Just the foundation that should be there. Now, tonight's message is entitled, Cry Wolf. Cry Wolf. Cry Wolf. Now, the phrase, crying wolf, refers to someone who is always playing a joke. For example, some children can be playing in the woods, and one with the intention of scaring the other kids would cry out, Wolf! And when he cries out, Wolf, the other kids run for their lives. But because there wasn't a wolf, they come back and play. Then the second time around, maybe it's a couple days later, the kids have forgotten about it. They're in the dark woods again. Maybe they're out camping. The kids goes, Wolf! And the kids scatter again. And then they come back and the kid says, Just fooling, just fooling. Well, two or three times of being deceived, the kid goes, Wolf! And nobody moves. The problem is here. Everyone look this way. There is a wolf. And so when I use the title tonight, Cry Wolf, it's because I have seen him. I've seen him. He's after your soul. He's after your life. He's after my children. He's after my wife. He's after that pastor. He's after this prayer team. He's after you, my friend. Everyone at home, he's after you. Now, I believe in prophecy. I believe in the prophets. I've got some friends that are their dear friends and they're prophets. So don't you come to me or don't you start yapping up off at the mouth and saying, well, Steve Hill is against the prophets. He's against prophecy. I don't despise prophesying. This revival was prophesied over many times. Many of you don't know this, but I was at a service in Lindale, Texas. Where's Ronnie at? Ronnie, you were there. Jerry, were you at that one particular service? All our staff was there, and it was like a prophetic conference. I just went to it, and a lot of our friends were there. And a prophet came up to me, laid his hands on me. This was like 2 or 3 weeks prior to Brownsville. And he said, I see a rocket on a platform. It's about to take off. And he said, nothing will be the same again. And I'm just standing there going, and he says, I see it taking off, and from that rocket comes out jet fighters everywhere. And he says, I'm telling you, nothing will be the same again. Nothing will be the same again. And everyone's going, whoa! And I'm, you know, whatever. I didn't buy the tape, you know, I wish I had now. And so when this thing took off on Father's Day, I went, There's something to that prophecy stuff. And I've been around a lot of other prophets that hit the nail on the head. So when I talk about false prophets and false teachers, when I talk about wolves tonight, I'm not blasting everyone out there that's involved in prophecy. Don't you misread me. But I want to tell you, friend, there is a segment of Christianity that is so gullible. The devil can wave a cherry lollipop in front of you and you'll fall out in the spirit. I mean, you just. I'm concerned, Pastor, because the devil has some tricks up his sleeve he hasn't used yet. And some of us in this room, if we heard down the road that there were miracle signs and wonders, and you'd say, well, what kind? Well, people are floating off the ground and landing again, floating off the ground and landing again, and they're worshiping. And some of us in this room would go over there and not even pay attention to the teaching. You'd be so mesmerized by the levitation and the miracles. I put those in quotes. And it wouldn't take long for the angel of light to suck you into the kingdom of darkness. My first point is this. When Jesus Christ comes into our lives, the light of his truth drives out the darkness in all our hearts. I'm laying a foundation. This is going to go quickly, so please, don't get antsy. When Jesus Christ comes into our lives, the light, everyone say light. The light of his truth drives out the darkness in our hearts. How many remember when that happened? You were in darkness. You were maybe on drugs or alcohol, maybe in stale religion, dry religion, but the gospel came in. I remember my mom is here tonight, and she was there when the gospel came in. You remember that, Mama? Jesus Christ came into my life. I'd been pumping poison in my arm for years. I'd been doing drugs. I was wasted out of my mind, and a Lutheran minister named Hugh Monzingo came over to my house, and he said, Steve, I can't help you, but I know somebody who can. His name is Jesus, and he can set you free. And I didn't know anything about the Bible, friend, but he came in and he said, Steve, pray with me. I said, I don't know how to pray. And then finally I just started saying the name Jesus, and then as I said the name Jesus, the light came on. I mean, the power swept through my body. Later, I read scriptures like in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I remember I got up from my bed after being saved, and I walked around and everything was brand new. My mom is here tonight. She'd testify to you that I went from being a hardcore junkie, a drug addict, to a child. Just immediately. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, I'm talking about when the Jesus Christ comes in, the darkness is driven out of our hearts. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3, but if our gospel be hid, is it hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, everyone say light, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The light came in. Oh, friend, I'll never, ever forget it. How Jesus Christ came into my life. Turn me around. For those of you that are not saved, let me just talk to you just for a second. Look this way, everybody. Nobody loves you like Jesus. I don't care if you're sitting next to your girlfriend And she says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Friend, nobody loves you like Jesus. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I've been living for Jesus for 25 years. Most of my friends are dead and gone. My drug buddies are dead and gone, or they're in the penitentiary somewhere. They're still wasted out of their minds on drugs. A few of them are straight today, but most of them are still gone on drugs. My friends are long gone, but Jesus Christ has stuck with me all the way through. He's always been there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I want to tell you something else. Your friend never died for you. Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary 2,000 years ago for you. The Bible says greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves you, man. He knows what you're going through. He knows what kind of pain sin brings. He took upon himself the sin of the world. He died 2,000 years ago. He took the weight of your sin on himself. Has anyone ever felt the burden of sin in this room? It's a horrible feeling. Ask any child that's committed some type of dishonest act in his house, and he walks around with this look on his face. He can't look daddy in the eyes. He can't look mommy in the eyes. Why? Because he's told a lie, and it shows all over him. He's not happy anymore. He can't play with his toys anymore. Everything's sort of a fake, because now he's got sin on him. He feels guilty all the way from his earliest age. He feels this guilt when we go on in life, and friend, it builds and it builds and it builds, and we become heavier and heavier and heavier. Then one day someone comes and says, I want you to go with me to Brownsville Assembly. I want you to hear the gospel. I want you to hear how Jesus can change your life. And you go, I don't know anything about that Jesus. I've never heard of Jesus. Just like this young man said, he had never picked up a Bible till 3 months ago. And they take you over to this place, or it couldn't be somebody else's church. John Bossman's church in Louisiana takes you over to the church, and you sit down, and next news you know, that light's penetrating. Oh, the love of Jesus starts penetrating, and a tear trickles down your face, and you wipe, and you go, where did that come from? That's your inner man going, I need Jesus! I need Jesus! I need Jesus! I need forgiveness! I need Jesus! I need Jesus! The beauty of it is when you come down to this altar call tonight and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, oh, friend, you can bow to Buddha, ain't nothing gonna happen. You can call a psychic, the only thing that's gonna change is your phone bill. But you come to Jesus and repent. Everyone say repent. That means ask him to forgive you. Repent means to turn around. You ask him to forgive you. Ask him to wash you clean. And friend, it's a miracle is what it is. Because of what he did on Calvary, he died for you. He took the punishment. I can't put it in any more simpler terms than he just took the punishment. He went to death row for you. He went all the way to the electric chair. He laid down on the gurney and let him stick the medicine in him. So he died for you. He was crucified for you, a wicked death, just for you, just for me. And when you ask him to forgive you, it works. There's nothing more I can say about it, friend. It just works. And the light comes on. That's why people are so excited. That's why people get so thrilled, and they leave out of this place, and they can't go to sleep, and they go to the restaurants, and thank God for the all-night restaurants around this place that, you know, bless the waitress's heart. I don't know how you could be a sinner waitress in this city. I mean it, friend. I pulled up to one drive-thru. I was in my suit Friday night coming home. You know, it was late night. I pulled up and she goes, I don't want to hear it. Just like that. That's how I didn't say anything. I don't want to hear it. I'd already taken, said, I gave her my order over the little speakerphone, but when I pulled up and I looked, I don't want to hear it. She had been witnessed to by everybody coming through there. I want the lights dimmed, not all the way down, it's dimmed a little bit more, right there. When the light of Jesus Christ diminishes in a church or in our own lives, you can be sure that a wolf is lurking close by. I said, when the light of, some of you are backslidden, and friend, I'm telling you right now, you better pay attention. There's a pit bull at your door, man. You better pay attention tonight. Whenever the light begins to diminish, pastors, we've seen it. Somebody starts backsliding. They leave the church. They were on fire. You know, maybe they used to sit on the front row, brother, and now they're halfway back, and then they, you know, they slip in late, and you know, they don't stay for prayer anymore. They don't come to the prayer meeting. Friend, the next thing you know, you're going to start hearing this right here. In the spirit realm, I'm hearing this so loud, friend. And you can't even hear it. Look this way. By light tonight, when I speak of light, I mean truth. Everyone say truth. By wolf, I mean the false prophets, the unholy, the selfish ministers, the deceptive teachers. Whatever it is that's pulling you away, whoever it is out there. I hate meeting people that used to be on fire. I cry. I've cried in stores when I see him. I go, Jesus, not Julie. Not Julie. See, I thank God for everybody. There's hundreds of thousands that are on fire. I thank God for everyone who's on fire, but I'm always hurting for the one that's not. I'm always hurting for the one that's straggled. The one who was pulled away. The one who was sidetracked by some little division that went here, a little discussion that went on over here, and they got discouraged, and then they start slipping away, and the next news you know, there's wolves howling outside their home. I'm crying wolf tonight, my friend. I'm trying to help you. I don't know if you read what took place this Sunday in New York City. But this Sunday, if you saw it on the news, most people saw it. I keep warning America. It's almost like America won't listen. I tell them this nation is a cesspool. This nation is violent. This nation is ready to erupt any second. You watch the economy drop out of this nation. This nation will be in civil war. I'm telling you, friend, neighbor will be against neighbor. What took place in New York City during the Puerto Rican parade is just a sample. Just a sample of what's going to go on in this nation in the near future, friend. And I'm using this as an illustration just to show you. There's hundreds of thousands of people that came out for the parade. Central Park was packed. People were up and down Fifth Avenue on the parade route. I've been in New York City during the parades. It's a wild place to be. There's no way that the Giuliano or the system could have had enough police out there to handle everybody. They do the very best they can. Don't you go cutting somebody down until you walk in their shoes. They do the very best they can. But in the middle of daylight, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, up to 60 men start grabbing women in broad daylight, friend. Stripping them, throwing them on the ground, molesting them. I mean, it's at such a place. It's right now, over 47 women have come forward that were molested in Central Park. And as I watched the telecasts and read the news, almost every single one of them said they came on them like a pack of wolves. Like a pack of wolves. Like animals. When I saw those telecasts, how many here know what I'm talking about? You saw some of that. Friend, when I saw that, I said, yeah, that's America. America's a bunch of animals. I said, America's a bunch of animals. You don't believe it, friend? Stay tuned. When I talk about light, I mean truth. By wolf, I mean false prophets. When the light of Jesus Christ diminishes in your life, what could have happened in New York City, friend? I promise you, if there had been police close to that area, they would have not done what they did. They would have never done what they did if there had been police right by there. It would not have happened in that area. But there weren't. And I'm just liking that. I'm using that as an illustration of light. And at the conclusion of your message, that'll make a whole lot of sense to you. The presence of God, the power of God, the right from wrong, some ruling authority in your life, some ruling authority in other people's lives, somebody that says, no, you can't do that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not hate. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, false doctrine delivered by false teachers and prophets is treated as life-threatening in the Word of God. Why don't we take it as life-threatening? Wolves are used as types simply because they are one of the most feared creatures by the keeper of sheep. Now, I could read a lot of scripture tonight about wolves, but I'm going to move on, friend. You can do a study on it yourself. But all through the Bible, you'll read about their fierceness in Genesis 49:27. They are night creatures in Jeremiah 5, verse 6. They attack sheep, John 10:12. It describes the wicked in Matthew 10:16. Wicked rulers in Ezekiel 22:27. False teachers in Acts 20:29. Fierce enemies in Habakkuk 1:8. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when I speak about wolves. When the light of Jesus Christ, everyone say, when the light of Jesus Christ, diminishes in my life, I can be sure that a wolf is lurking close by. Remember, they come to you, my friend, in sheep's clothing. They profess simplicity and gentleness. They claim to be members of God's true flock. Externally, they are like this, but at heart, they are something totally different. Jesus described them as ravenous, which depicts violence and greed. Now, there are false teachers waiting to pounce on you with strange doctrines. Everyone say strange doctrines. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There are many people that are going to rise in these last days, and I can see it happening, Pastor. They're going to rise up in these last days, and they're going to have a doctrine that is so close to what we believe. It's so close, you can hardly tell the difference. But your spirit, man, is quickened. I mean, there's something there. You can't place your finger on it, but they're good people. They're not bad people. And besides that, these people, during the economic crisis in America, they came over and fed our home. They had food stored up, and they fed my family. They're coming, friend, with strange doctrines. There are false teachers, and may I add, backslidden Christians, who are waiting to lead you into strange directions. Not only strange doctrines, but strange directions. Friend, I want you to hear me. I wasn't born yesterday. I worked through the Argentine revival. I saw 4,000 cults move into that country in the matter of 1 year. We just left Japan. Japan has 6,000 cults operating within the nation. America right now has 6,000 cults also. I'd never seen anything like it. We'd be preaching the gospel, and they'd be outside our tent trying to seduce the children. Giving them balloons, giving them candy. Then we would go off and hold a street meeting somewhere, and there they'd be. Incredible stuff. And then they'd infiltrate the church. We broke up into cell meetings. We'd have some of the leaders of those different organizations masquerade as members of a church, and they would come in They'd work their way into cell groups. Next news you know, they would pull away 50 members of the church. And I'd come up to Pastor Hector and I'd say, what happened to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? It's, oh, you haven't heard? You haven't heard, Steve? They're over there in that house, man. Here's what they believe now. We've had people come into this church right here, right in the middle of Holy Ghost revival, and steal members of the flock. I remember a family that used to sit right back over here. They never missed a service. And then they come up missing. 2 years later, I'm at the mall, and I see one of their daughters, and I walk up to her, and she looks at me like a zombie. I said, where you been? She said, we can't come to your meetings anymore, Steve. I said, what are you talking about? We're in a new church now, Steve. They told us we can't come to your meetings anymore, Steve. They're teaching a different way, Steve. We're saved too, Steve. Oh, it was robotic. And I said, please come back. Please come back. But she was so entrenched. She was so deep, friend. Careful. Lead you into strange directions. The Bible says, everyone say the Bible says. In 2 Timothy 3:1, then this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'll never forget a girl that graduated from Central Bible College, which is an Assembly of God institution that teaches the Word of God. What I'm about to share should have never happened. She becomes part of our church. She's a graduate of a four-year Bible institution. She graduates. She comes to work in our church. She's just volunteering, trying to find her path in life. She's at her apartment. And she gets a knock on the door. Some people are standing there with Bibles. And they say, listen, we're from your apartment complex, and every Tuesday night we have a Bible study. We want to know if you'd join us. And she said, well, what do you believe? They said, well, she said, what do you believe? And the girl said, I believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago for the redemption of sins. I believe, we do too. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Next news you know, she's at their meeting. 6 months later, she comes back into the church, just a zombie. She's caught up in the Way Fellowship. Just, it's incredible. Slipping in with strange doctrines. Now, I'm going to give you some light in the end of this, so stick with me. There are false teachers not only that'll come in with strange deities, strange directions. No, strange, what was the first one I shared with you? Strange doctrines and strange directions. But they're false teachers waiting to introduce you to strange deities. Everyone look this way. Jesus said this. Everyone say, Jesus said this. It's recorded in Matthew 24:23. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But I'm watching Christians lured to the left, lured to the right, What's going to pull you aside, my friend? Play that again. What's going to pull you aside? What's it going to take to pull you away from the truth? I would never fall away, Steve. Well, some of the greatest leaders that we've ever known have fallen away. What makes you any different? Here's my big concern, friend. Look this way. I'm going to turn out the lights in just a minute. Here's my big concern. If I see you in an airport a year from now, I want to see you in love with Jesus. I don't want to come walking up to you, friend, and you be holding some strange book. I don't want to come walking up to you when you talk to me some strange doctrine. I don't want to come walking up to you when you say something like this. You know, Steve, you just got too much fire. I've got around a group of people. They love Jesus just as much as you do, Steve. But they've taught me I don't have to be as zealous about the Lord as you are. That you're a unique breed. And that I don't have to share my faith. As a matter of fact, they said that faith is a very personal thing. And they said if I just join in with them, and it's almost like a community, Steve. We all take care of one another, and we share. We give offerings, but we gladly give offerings. As a matter of fact, Steve, I've given everything I own. I've turned it all over to them because we love one another. I've never seen such love, Steve. Friend, if I see you in an airport, if I see you in a mall like that, trust me, I'll fall on my knees and beg you to come home. I'll beg you to come home. I'm tired of it. There's no excuse. There's no reason. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you're going, what's he talking about? This has nothing to do with me. Oh, friend, you don't know how easy it is to be deceived. For 25 years, I've seen the false prophets come and go. I've watched them suck believers out of the churches, come in and hook them and drag them out. And then I've seen them by the wayside years later, tattered, beat up, stripped of everything they have. And I'm going, is this the man that used to preach the same gospel I preach? Is this the woman who used to sing in the choir Amazing Grace? I'm not here to talk about cults tonight. I could talk about the Branch Davidians. I could talk about the Solar Temple. I've got them all listed tonight, but these are called killer cults. Killer cults. I'm amazed by the people that join these. Absolutely. We just left out of Japan, and that one killer cult that has spewed poison in the subway system there has over 60,000 followers already. They're already convicted of killing people. I'm blown away by these killer cults. And then when they interview some of the members, you know what they say? I was raised in church. They'll say things like, I was raised in church. I was raised in a Baptist church. Just enough of the truth, the cult member came along and sucked them in. Next news you know, they're part of the Heaven's Gate. 38 members commit suicide. The cult goddess worship. United Pentecostal Church of Brazil. That sounds like a good name, doesn't it? The United Pentecostal Church of Brazil are guilty of slaughtering its members, beating and kicking to death children, and men and women who do not follow them explicitly, every detail. The United Pentecostal Church of Brazil. How about this group, the group called Concerned Christians? That's what we used to call ourselves when we traveled, when we did outreaches with Dallas Holm and Dave Wilkerson. We put up a big sign called Concerned Christians. We would feed the poor, put on concerts, minister to the lost. Now there's a group registered called Concerned Christians, a cult out of Denver, that the government's afraid they're about to commit mass suicide. I could go on and on, 6,000 operating in America. Strange doctrine, strange beliefs. I'm just surprised at people, friend. I'm just surprised. That's one of the reasons you'll always hear a simple message from Steve Hill. You hear me, friend? You'll always hear Jesus loves you, has a plan for your life. He shed his blood on Calvary 2,000 years ago for you. If you'll live holy, God will bless you. Keep the sin out of your life. God will bless you. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. You'll always hear, your iniquity will separate you from God. You'll always hear me to go after God, go after God. You hear me night after night at the revival. Don't ever stop going after God. Don't ever stop going after God, because I know the moment you stop going after God, the moment you slow down, some of you are here tonight, you're backslidden. That's exactly what's going on. But I want to tell you here tonight, Rudy, bring me that case down there, would you? These wild animals will do anything for something to eat. They don't care about you, friend. You know what blows my mind, friend? In spite of all the danger signs, men's and all the warnings in the Word of God, people still persist in deviating from the truth. Pastor, what scares me is Christians have always got to be tickled. I don't either. Well, just take a look at what is important to you. What is important to you in Christianity? Some new teaching? Some new prophetic word? What's important to you? Some new slant on the authority of the believer? What is it that causes you to keep going to conferences and seminars? And what keeps cranking you up? It scares me. It scares me, friend. Because the Bible says even the very elect could be deceived. The last day, what's fixing to come, friend, is not going to be playtime. It's not recess, friend. It's going to be serious. And Christians that always have to be tickled, that always have to be pumped up, that always got to have some new thing, are going to fall away in the masses. Satan knows your type. He's hiding in the bushes. Why is it, Pastor, every time we want to evangelize, a half a dozen people show up? But you hold some Christian concert and you pack the church out. Thank God for a Bible school that has a couple hundred students going out. Don't you ever stop doing that, Ryan. Don't you ever start taking them to the streets. Don't you ever stop doing that. You know what I find? I find pastors that used to go out and talk to people about Jesus, but now they can't do that anymore. They're just too busy. Pastors, I want to tell you the greatest thing you can do is put on a t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans and walk outside that stained glass building. Go open your mouth and talk to somebody about Jesus. Get back down to the basics of Christianity. Let them know God loves them and has a plan for their life. Referring to wild animals, they will do anything for something to eat. These folks that are coming after us, look this way, everybody. They want a little of your money, a little of your attention, a little of your loyalty. Wolves are driven by hunger. Everyone say, wolves are driven by hunger. Wolves are driven by I'm going to close in just a minute, friend. You ever heard the phrase, hungry as a wolf, so false prophets hungry to prey upon unsuspecting followers of Jesus? Look this way, friend. One of the things I loved about Leonard Ravenhill, he used to name all the prophets, and I would sit down with him, and there was one prophet that's traveling around America, and he could tell you what you had for lunch. I mean, friend, he could tell you everything about your life, and Christians would follow him like just robots. And Leonard used to say to me, I don't care if he knows what I had on yesterday. I don't care if he knows what I had for breakfast. I don't care if he knows what I'm going to have for dinner. I want to know, is he holy? I want to know, is he living for God? I want to know, does he have Jesus in his heart? I want to know, is he winning people to Jesus? That's what I want to know, because that's what matters. Just as wolves are known to travel in packs, so false prophets and teachers are known to surround themselves with those of their own kind. I'm warning everybody here, friend. Be careful of the prophetic conferences that are all over this nation. Am I saying they're all wrong? You didn't hear me say that. I'm saying be careful. Ravenhill used to warn me about people, and I'd look at him like he was judging them. Then I realized he wasn't judging them. He was saying, be careful, Steve. They'll snap like a wolf. They'll bite you, man. Stay away from that type. Stay away from that person. Thank God we heeded his counsel. Just as wolves are instinctively assertive, always ready to hunt, so false prophets are always ready to point their finger and pounce. Just as wolves' basic nature is selfish and aggressiveness. If you don't believe that, friend, watch a pack of wolves on television one day kill a piece of some prize. They don't care, friend. They're aggressive, they're violent, they're selfish. Just as a wolf will often move 30 miles between kills, so false prophets stay on the move between kills. I'm going to say that again. You know what I noticed about people that come in and feed from you? They'll come in. I noticed this about our ministry all over the world. They'll come in, Pastor, and they'll work their way in, and they'll do whatever they can. They'll eat, and then they'll run. You want to know why? They know there's a man of God close by. And if they stay too long, they'll be found out. If they stay too long, they'll be found out. There's a Russian proverb that says this, the wolf is kept fed by his feet. Always moving, always going around. Pop, 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 pop. Few prophecies true here, few there, but five wrong there, five. But no one can really tell because there's such movement going on. But sit the man still for a while. Set the woman still for a while and stay here. Be a part of the fivefold ministry. Stay here at Brownsville and hang out for a few years. We'll see if you really are who you say you are, because we live here. We walk and talk here. Let's see if it pans out. Maybe that's one of the reasons for the fivefold ministry, is so they'll be held accountable for all the stuff that comes from the mouth. That's probably been the greatest blessing in our own life. I asked you a few minutes ago if you trusted us, your hand went up, because many of you know us. 5 solid years preaching the gospel. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, Steve, I've heard you first preach 23 years ago. And he said, your message has not changed in 23 years. Same thing. Same thing. Jesus loves you, has a plan for your life. Get the sin out. Go after God. Just as wolves are ravenous animals tearing apart their victims, so false prophets slip in and leave the church stripped of funds. Oh man, Pastor, I wish I could take you to the war zones. Well, I'm not going to be able to get all the way through this. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. You can tell whether someone is genuine by observing the work that they leave behind. Want to know how I know Mike Brown is genuine?
the fruit all around his life. It's obvious. 1,200 students in a Bible school. People, rather than going off mic and becoming self-indulgent and feasting on the good of the land and ripping off other people, they're going off to the mission field, working for God. The fruit follows you. Pastor, you have thousands of members in your church that love you. They come in something like 75% of this church tithe to the church. They just give to the church. Why? Because he's trustworthy. The fruit is everywhere. People go up to the hospital. He left out a few minutes ago to go see Hazel. Many of you know Hazel had a miscarriage. And many of us didn't know about it. I just got a call today and had a miscarriage last night. And pastor slipped out of the service today. Went up there. Follow. That's the fruit of the ministry. Hazel and Benny and their 47 kids and but you'll know them by the fruit. But you get around other folks, shattered lives, ripped to shreds, bitter, lying in a heap on the side of the road, stripped of all their funds, just like these folks up in Central Park. They were stripped of all their money, stripped of all their clothes, mauled like animals would maul some beast, and then left in Central Park just in total shame. That's how I find Christians everywhere. And I'm sick of it. You'll know them by their fruit. Friend, investigate. You hear me? I'm going to close. I'm just concerned because, see, I don't know what's fixing to come. But a great move of God is not about to come this way. Look this way, everybody. Don't be distracted. A great move of God is not going to come down the pike without Satan. Without Satan coming up with a counterattack. And this is how it's going to come. I want the lights out. And I want you to just play this over and over again in the back. Parents, I want you to let your children know that this is an illustration for them to understand the danger of false doctrine. That your children need to stay close to Jesus. I want the spotlight on this animal right now. This is my concern, friend. Outside of Brownsville Assembly of God, wherever you're from, outside of your church, there is a ravenous animal. Jesus said, beware. Paul said, beware. But Christians today are acting as if there's nothing out there. The moment I hear of some strange doctrine, I investigate. I don't want to know a little bit about it. I want to know exactly what's going on because I don't want my daughter, my other daughter, my son, my wife, or my neighbors to get anywhere close to false doctrine. I don't want anyone to step up to my son and lay his hands on him and give him some prophetic word like he's going to move to Zimbabwe if it ain't of God. And here's the problem, Mike. That scripture says this. It doesn't say they're sent by God. It says they come to you. They come to you. They come to you. It doesn't say they're sent by God. They come to you. That's why, Pastor, I'm weary of any prophet who calls. A man came up to me the other day and he said, so-and-so just called my church, Steve. Should I have him? And I said to him, I never call churches. I said, be careful, Pastor. Why does he want to come to your church? Has he heard from God, or is your church big and full of money? They come to you. Listen up in the Family Life Center. They come to you. I want you to zero in on this thing. They come to you. They're ravenous. They want to rip you to shreds. But they're in sheep's clothing. They're white. They look fine on the outside. But inside, friend, they've got ulterior motives. They have a plan. I'm asking you today, friend, are you ready? I'm crying wolf. When I turn on Christian television, I want to puke. I want to throw up. I'm saying, God, are you anywhere on the airwaves? Who are these people that are fleecing the flock? Who are these people that every grandma and grandpa out of there are pulling their savings out of the bank and giving to them? Who are these people that are stripping the good men and God and women of God of every dime they have? Who are these people that are saying, if you'll send me $1,500, God will bring it back to $15,000? Who are these people that are out there? They come to you. And I'm crying wolf tonight, friend. Well, let me tell you something that I've learned. I've learned something in life. And I'm going to close this. I want everyone to stand. Charlie, why don't you give me a hand here? I want you to take this and set it back in its place. Everyone standing. I want the lights halfway on. And if Lyndall will come back out here, I didn't ask him to do this, but I want to ask you to come back out, Lyndall. You know what I've learned? And I want you to play softly, setting the fire, Lyndall. Look this way, everybody. The best way. You know what was so strange? When this wolf arrived in my study, you know what was so strange? It was like I had known this wolf all my life. It was so strange, friend, because I have seen strange doctrine come in and out for 25 years. And I'm going to go ahead and touch on one more thing before I show you how. How many want to know how to keep the wolf away? I want to share one more thing. There's also people that will come in. And there will be a move of God like this going on. The power of God will be coming in. And they will cry wolf. Because the power of God's moving. It will be false. Are you hearing me? There will be people, and there have been people that have criticized this revival. They've cried wolf to make it sound like we're a bunch of deceivers and stuff like that. But then they'd go, wolf, 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 wolf. And after a while, people are going, what are you talking about? There was no wolf at Brownsville. My daughter got saved. My husband got saved. My mom was healed of cancer. Fruit. Years later, 5 years later, people on the mission field, 700 graduates. How many graduates now? 750 graduates from the Bible school. Everywhere I go, Lyndall. Walking through the Atlanta airport the other day, a young man comes up to me and goes, "Steve Hill, I was delivered from drugs and alcohol at your meeting, man." But there are people that'll come along and they'll cry wolf. Those of you that are watching at home, you hear me. Jesus said, look for the fruit. You'll know them by the fruit. What do you say to a man who's been delivered from drugs? What do you say to a man whose marriage was on the rocks and came to Brownsville with his wife and now their marriage is healed or on fire? A couple came to me the other day that were at an Awake America in Niagara Falls. Beautiful couple, man, just handsome couple. They had tears in their eyes. We just had an Awake America in Wheeling. They came up to me and they said, "We just want to thank you, man, because our marriage was over and some friends invited us to Niagara Falls to your meeting 2 years ago, and now we're on fire for God and God's called us into the ministry." Friend, you'll know them by the fruit. Are you listening? But the best way to keep away a ravenous wolf is by staying close to a roaring fire. I know what I'm talking about. You've heard me say that I always surround myself with on fire people. If anyone in my ministry is not on fire, they're out of the ministry. I don't want them around. If they're not on fire for God, I don't want them there. And I tell the employees of Together the Harvest Ministries, there's no such thing as working late and all this kind of stuff. You just work. Okay? If the day's over, the day's over. You get to home at 5, it's wonderful. But if there's extra work, God's not looking down from heaven and going, "Whoa, Sally, look at you, half hour late." No, I look for people that are on fire, that love the Lord, and the ministry is just icing on the cake. But the best way to keep away the ravenous wolves is by staying close to a roaring fire. My friend, wolves are afraid of fire. I'm talking about the purifying fire of God's Word. I'm talking about the white hot fire of revival. I'm talking. I'm talking about the fire of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You stay in the Word. J.B. Stoney, David Wilkerson, who highly recommends all his works. You can't even get them here in America. You got to order them out of England. J.B. Stoney said this, "The true remedy in dealing with false teachers and false prophets is to increase the light." Turn the fire up. Stay in the Word. Keep close to God in prayer. Fellowship with on fire believers. Be willing to test the spirits to see if they are of God. Examine them under the intense scrutiny of the Holy Bible. Stay involved in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Holy Ghost-anointed church. How many people do you meet, Lyndall, pastor, when you're out, just people that sort of slipped away, you know? One of the first things they do is they quit coming to church. Wolves, get away from the, you get away from the fire, friend. They can't stand the heat of that fire. They can't stand the brightness of it. It's danger to them. I want everyone in the front to move their chairs to the left and the right. Matter of fact, Lori, we're going to do this song. I want you to come up here if you would. We're going to do Mercy Seat. Leave the lights just where they're at. Those of you in the Family Life Center, I want you to stand. I just want to see you there, man. Just want to see you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Just want to see you at the marriage supper of the Lamb, friend. I don't want to see you pulled away. Let me tell you something else, folks. Once you've tasted of the fire of God, you're never going to be satisfied going somewhere else. You hear me? Never going to be satisfied going somewhere else. You start going somewhere else away from the fire, that's probably a sign of being backslid. You say, well, now Steve's forcing us to stay in an on-fire church. Check it out for yourself, friend. You know what's going on inside your spirit. Instead of going to prayer meeting, you're watching television. Instead of going to revival meeting, what are you doing? You're watching the late night show, and next news you know, you're back on the internet. Next thing you know, you're watching pornography again. So the best place to go is a nice, cool church. Nice, cool church. You meet Pastor John Kilpatrick, and he says, haven't seen you in a while. And you say, oh, we're involved in a church across town. Yeah, we go to church. We're there every Sunday. He knows exactly what you're talking about. You might as well say, oh, listen, wolves are eating us alive. My kids are backsliding. My wife and I don't get along anymore. But boy, we can sure play church on Sunday morning. But our home is hell on earth. We're being mauled alive. Ravenous wolves have come in and eaten my children, tearing up my marriage. I'm not talking about just false prophets and false teaching, friend. I'm talking about everything out there that's coming against the body of Christ. See, some of the falseness is going to rise right up among us. Right up among us. That's one of the fears I have, Pastor, over television. There's so much junk on television. People, they sit there and they're mesmerized by some of the teaching on Christian television. I mean, it scares me, friend. Stay plugged into a local church. Here's what we're going to do tonight. Those of you that have never known the Lord, in just a minute, I'm going to give an altar call. You're going to come down here and get right with God. Others of you that are backslidden, you slipped away from Jesus. Maybe you can identify with this animal. It's come in and chewed your life apart. Maybe you feel like like one of those women in Central Park that's just been just mauled and molested. And you feel like you're exposed to the world. And you know you've been attacked by the very wolves that Paul, Jesus, the Word was talking about. But I got news for you tonight, friend. You're going to turn up the fire. That pack of animals is going to scatter. You're going to sense victory like you've never sensed before. Those of you that are backslidden, you're doing things that you would never do. Listen up at home. And I can identify this probably the best way, and this is one of the things Mike Brown taught me, is that if there's a video at your house that you can't watch on Sunday morning in front of the whole church, but it's sitting in your video cabinet and you leave it there and you know it's wrong, then friend, there's something wrong with your life. There's something wrong with your life. If you can go through a video cabinet and you know this is good, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is good as far as this is clean, this is not, this is clean, and you still have not clean in your video cabinet, there's something wrong with your life, friend. And you need to repent at these altars in just a minute. If you're backslidden, you're going to come down here and get right with God. Jesus Christ is going to set you totally free. If you're religious, but you don't know Jesus, you might go to church, but you don't know Him. You might be faithful to attend Sunday school, but you don't know Him. When I give this altar call, friend, you're going to come. You're going to come and you're going to get right with God. You're going to meet Jesus. You're not going to meet Steve, you're not going to meet Pastor, you're not going to meet Lyndall or Mike, you're going to meet Jesus. Some of you go to church, but you don't know the Lord. You need to meet Jesus tonight in this place. When I open up this altar, everyone in this place that needs Jesus to forgive them, you're going to come quickly. And Charlie, I tell you what I want to do. Matter of fact, Lyndall, play Send the Fire. Play Send the Fire. You got some musicians out there?
They're right here.
place in the fire. Don't anyone come. I just want to do this as a symbol. And I want everyone to sing it.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
Charlie,
your blood,
get him out of here.
To their reclaim.
Get him out of here. To fire. You want to chase the devil out of your life. You want to chase anybody that's messing with you out of your life. You get close to Jesus. Get close to the fire. People ask me how I got rid of all my old friends. I didn't get rid of one of my old friends. Every one of them left me. When I got around the fire. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give this altar call. Now, at the conclusion of this service, after this altar call, we're going to pray with everyone who wants prayer. We have a large prayer team, Pastor, myself, Mike, Bob, Rogers, every one of us are here. We're going to pray. John Bosman, can you pray with folks tonight? He's going to pray with folks tonight, and we're going to pray with everybody who wants prayer. And there's a fresh anointing. God's going to touch you. But before then, I want to make sure everyone's right with God. There's a lot of people here, you're not saved. And we're going to do this all at once tonight. We're going to do that. Those of you that don't know the Lord, you're going to come down here and get saved. Those of you that are backslidden, you're going to come down here and get right with God. Those of you that are religious, you're going to come down here and meet Jesus. And those of you that after that first wave comes down, everyone's going to turn to the person next to them and you're going to ask them this question. Do you need Jesus Christ to forgive you? And when somebody turns to you, and you know there's sin in your life, you tell them there's sin in your life. Yeah, I need forgiveness. And then both of you are going to come down together in the balcony, in the Family Life Center. And the only thing that's going to hold you back tonight is pride. Everyone say pride.
Pride.
Pride will say to you, I don't need to go down to those Brownsville altars. I can do this at home. Friend, I hear a wolf. I hear a wolf. I hear a wolf howling. You know what he's saying to you? He's saying, you're right. You need to go home to the security of your own home. You need to go back to the hotel and talk to God. You don't need to do it here. I want to tell you what happens. The devil knows if he can get you away from the fire, he can chew away at the conviction that you're feeling right now. He'll water it down. That's why it's so important, friend, to come down here. And I'm going to bind the devil. Don't let pride hold you back. If you need forgiveness, when I bind the devil, that shackle's going to fall off your leg, and you're going to come as quickly as you can. Don't you hesitate. If you hesitate, you might as well turn to the devil and say, devil, I don't want Jesus. I want you. And that shackle's going to pop back over your leg. But I'm going to bind him, and the shackle's going to come unloose. You can step out as soon as I bind him. Lori's going to sing Mercy Seat. Don't you hesitate. If you need forgiveness, if you've never known the Lord, if you're backslidden in this place, if you're religious, if you're at home and you're religious and you don't know Jesus, listening to the radio and you don't know Jesus, you can get saved just like people here at Brownsville. You kneel right there in your home. I'm going to bind the devil. If you need forgiveness, I want you to come quickly. Satan, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Loose him and let him go. Loose her and let her go. Now come on, friend. If you need forgiveness, hurry, 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 hurry. Come on, come on, come on, come on, hurry.